We're going to cover verses 4 through 11. And I was looking for a volunteer that would be willing to read. How about if we read maybe 1 through 11 to get the full context? And I think I'll look around and pick the person who's got it. It looks like they're almost there. I pick on you, Randy. Thank you.
Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing.
Great. Thank you, Randy. Well, on the second chart, I actually have highlighted a few things. And as we transition into verse 4, there's really a big contrast that we're going to see. In verses 1 through 4, we talked about the Lord's return in terms of his return. And then after his return, there's this time period called the Day of the Lord. It's an extended time period that covers actually the tribulation period, also the millennial kingdom, and actually the new heavens and the new earth. So it's quite an extended time period, and it's talked about both in the Old and New Testament. But what's interesting is that day is characterized by a phrase, just like a thief in the night, and maybe with underlying the word night. There's going to be a big contrast today. We're going to be between light and darkness, day and night, kind of contrasting what God has done in the believer's life in contrast to the unbeliever who is basically still in spiritual darkness. So we're going to see a big contrast. And that's where it kind of shows up here in verse 4. It says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. And we're kind of going to go into that and examine that more carefully. And then down in verse 5, it says, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. It's kind of interesting that there's kind of this idea that it's not just the night. Darkness, I'm going to flip it around here. Darkness is one aspect, but night is like the totality of darkness. He plays on those words. Same with light and day. And we'll see that a bit more. So that's kind of where we're headed here. Okay. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. It says you're not in darkness. And darkness is this word kind of basically implying spiritual ignorance or error. In some cases, I think it can be translated as physical darkness, but in this context, I think it's referring to spiritual darkness. And there's a couple of verses I'd like to look at here in terms of that. And may I get some volunteers to... Can I get someone to read... They're all in John's writings, two in the Gospel and one in the Epistle. John chapter 8. Let's see. Find that. Okay, thank you.
Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
Okay, so here's right off the bat, here's the contrast between darkness and light. You know, the person who is in the Lord Jesus has the light of life, Christ's life. And that word light always seems to be associated with the life of Christ. His light, his life is, I'm not sure I can say it here. Anyway, light is characteristic of Jesus Christ. How about John 12, 46? Okay.
Into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness.
Right, okay? So we're not to be in darkness. So, and we're going to see it. You know, Paul's admonition here is based upon that your position is in Christ, that you're in Him. You know, live out your position in your life. I mean, it's, you know, you don't think seeing much of position and condition in this, but you do. I mean, it's in here. And I think as we look through Scripture, we ought to kind of in the back of our mind always have that kind of looking for that. Is this talking about our position or our condition? So, you know, the believer is but inherently, because he's in Christ, he's in the light. Now, he may choose in his condition to walk contrary to that, and that's another issue. But positionally, he's there. And that's a wonderful thing. Whereas the unbeliever is not. And that's the contrast we're seeing here. Okay, how about the last one in 1 John? 1 John 1:5.
This then is the message that we have heard of him, and heard unto you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all.
Right. So there's no darkness at all, and actually it's literally not even one little bit. There is absolutely no darkness. There is no sin, no unrighteousness in God. He is totally pure. And light, if you think of it, is a very wonderful way of describing the character of God. He is light inherently in his nature. Okay, so basically Paul's saying, you brethren are not in darkness. And so I think it's talking about the believer's position in Christ. And then he transitions from here, that the day would overtake you like a thief. So what's the day here referring to, do you think? I don't think this is hard. Think in the context of what we read. I mean, maybe I shouldn't ask these silly questions, but... Well, that is a possibility, but if you go back, if you look back, what do you think? I'll just go back here. I'm making this sound so easy, but... Yeah, okay. Well, see, if you look back up here, and actually, it's interesting. I went back and looked a little bit. Boy, it's verse 2 is really powerful. It's in the perfect tense. It says you knew it in the past, and you continue to know it. I mean, they knew it. And it's just like he's hammered that you yourselves know. And also, it's you accurately know. There's actually a word that's not really translated here, but you know that. That's a fact that is unequivocally in your mind and heart. You knew it in the past, you continue to know it. So when you come down here to verse 4, brethren, you are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you. Inherently, this day is not going to overtake you because you're not going to be there. You're not going to be there in that day of the Lord. I mean, that's how I would see it. So let's go back to here.
But even the unbeliever.
Well, the unbeliever, as we saw back in, I keep, I have to go back and forth here, but, you know, he's saying peace and safety. The unbeliever's saying, hey, we got our guy here. He's making his peace and safety. The Middle East is in good shape. No problem. We're going to have peace. No, we're not. I mean, it's going to be a rude awakening. Sure. Go ahead. Sure. No, actually, that's very, I know. I know. Isn't that amazing? But don't we see that? I mean, it just breaks my heart when I see people I know. In fact, I was driving. I was praying for about four people I was thinking of today. And this time of the year, I invited this guy at work to come to our house and come to the service on Christmas Eve. And, you know, at first he was kind of excited about it. And I explained what we're going to do. And then he said, he didn't exactly say no. He just didn't talk to me anymore. That was the end of it. The fact that we're going to come and I said, we're going to go to a service. And, you know, and I have explained a little bit of that. We'll come, you know. And he didn't talk to me anymore. I hope the Lord changes his mind. But, I mean, and you just, it hurts. It hurts to see men in darkness. You know. Jack, go ahead.
This darkness, is that, I see this whole world system that we are living in here as darkness.
I would agree. I
says you are not of the darkness, that means you are heavenly.
We're heavenly people. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, as I looked through this, I said, boy, I'm just kind of scratching the surface. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could look through I think that's the entire world system is in darkness. And they don't know what's going on. I mean, you hear people make all kinds of claims about how we're going to do this and do that. We're going to have peace and we're going to, and all this kind of stuff. And they really don't know. Anyway, that's good. Okay. So I think it's the day of the Lord. And the idea of overtake is signifying to lay hold of. It's actually to appropriate and to possess. And let me see something I wanted to say here with those. And what's interesting here, I ask another question. Overtake. It says that the day would overtake you. Is it possible for this day to overtake the believer? It's kind of a trick question, but I mean, from what we said.
It says in verse 4 that it will not.
Exactly. Amen. That's good. Amen. Amen. It says you're not in the darkness, that the day would overtake you. So, not to worry. We're not to worry that the day of the Lord will overtake us. I mean, that's very, very, I think it will. It is going to overtake the unbeliever. And we saw that back in verse 3. So, you know, it's going to come upon them when they think everything's great. All this great peace talks are going on or whatever is happening. And I kind of have another way to phrase it. You must be of darkness for the day to overtake you. You must be inherently in the darkness, which believers are not, for the day to overtake you. And we're not. So I think this is just really a wonderful testimony to what we have in Christ. That we're not in darkness. And we're going to see that we're in the light. The next verse is going to kind of flip the tables and talk about how we're in the light. Okay. All right. Okay. And it's, again, it's like a thief. It's something that's a surprise, unknown when it's going to occur. But we don't have to worry. It says, "You brethren are not in darkness." And there's Wiest. Okay. Now he's going to state where the believer's at. Sons of light, because interesting, like I mentioned here before, he takes, we're not only in the light, the day is like, think about the day, it's the totality of all light, right, in a day. I'm not sure this is scientific, but you have a little bit of light, you turn the light on in the morning, say it's dark, and you turn the light on, and you're, that's not exactly a great analogy, but then you have an entire day full of light. So you are sons of light and sons of day. In contrast, versus sons of darkness and sons of night. There's a totality, I saw there, a totality of saying light transitioning into a full day of light and darkness into a full night of darkness. That was just something that kind of... Okay. So there are a couple of verses here that kind of talk about more about light. And let's see. Back to the Gospel of John. John 12:36. Actually, how about we could read 35 and 36, maybe. John 12:35 and 36. Lindy? Thank you.
And Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Light walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. But you trust in the light.
Right. Great. Yeah. Thanks, Lindy. Yeah. Isn't this neat? And I think, you know, this is obviously looking forward. You know, we are sons of light. We are sons of day. We have that. And the darkness may not overtake you. So I mean, the same kind of phraseology is used in the Gospels that we're seeing here. And then how about in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, maybe. Let me see here. Yeah. Thank you. He said, okay, cross out the one there. It's eight. Thanks, Randy.
You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I noticed, thanks for the correction. So this should be Ephesians 5:8. There's sons of light, there's also children of light. different Greek word, but I think the same concept. So you can trace some verses. There's some verses that talk about children of light and some that talk about sons of light. I think it's the same concept. Okay. Now, here's some verses that are concerning darkness. But what we're going to see, they're going to basically tell us that we're not in darkness. Okay, Colossians 1:13. Doris? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Right. So here's a wonderful, wonderful statement about, you know, what we have in Christ. We've been delivered from the domain or the power of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son.
Roger, just to add a little comment of light, this was in the days before these new energy-saving light bulbs.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, that's good. That's good, Art. I have to kind of ponder that a bit. But
well, I mean, that does intensify the sense of darkness. When you're out somewhere and it's an overcast night, you have no stars or moon.
Have you, you know, if you're in a room is totally like at home and there's no night light, nothing, there's no light, and you have the shades drawn, it's, you stumble around and crash into stuff, and, you know, it's not good. You know, that's a physical. How about 1 Peter? 1 Peter 2:19. I'm not sure. I may have a mistake there, too. Is that right? Okay, Roger. Oh, I'm sorry. Once again, I'm going crazy. It's 1 Peter 2:9. I don't know. I've gotten carried away with ones here today. Right. Randy, would you read that for us then? Thanks.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Right. So we are sons of light. We've been called out of darkness. We are not of the night. So you have this contrast, sons of light and sons of the day versus sons of darkness and sons of night. And we have no part of the darkness or the night, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, just, you know, I'm not sure, like, anyway, this time of the year, I don't like when the day comes to an end. I get out of work and it's dark, you know, it just, somehow that just doesn't, my kids keep saying, well, let's make it more daylight savings time. I said, you need to keep cranking that more and more hours. It'd be dark until about 10 o'clock at night to get it light to be at, you know. And actually, when we were overseas for a while, that was kind of interesting, light and dark. I just one little more analogy here. We were in the north of England, and actually, that's the same latitude. Is that right, latitude, Jack? Yeah. Same latitude as Alaska. So it gets, I mean, you would not believe this. You see the stories about, like, the Christmas Carol, it gets dark about 3:30 in the afternoon. I mean, that just somehow doesn't go well with me. 3:30 is dark. You know.
The summers are nice.
The summers are nice, that's true. But anyway, but it's, you know, darkness just as a physical feeling doesn't set well. So I'm thankful we're in the light, you know, and that's wonderful. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so now based upon that, it seems like, you know, we sort of had, Paul talks here about our positional aspects, and now he's going to transition. Based upon that, he's going to ask us to kind of do something. Okay? So let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Okay? Sleep is this idea, and this is not the same word that when we had asleep, where it said that we're asleep in the Lord, even though it can mean, depending upon where it's translated, it can mean actually physical sleep, but it seems like this is more you're spiritually asleep. Even though you have these wonderful blessings, you're walking around, and we see that, unfortunately. We see believers who have all these wonderful blessings, but they live as if they didn't have them. They live as if they didn't have any of these wonderful blessings. So this is saying, so let us not sleep as others do. And one question I had, which I'm not sure I have a total answer for, who are the others? Or, well, what's the possibility for the others, do you think? I would say that's certainly a good possibility. But it seems like it, you know, I thought it might encompass others that are asleep. I mean, sleeping spiritually. That could be a possibility. Because he's going to go and he says, but let us be sober. And we're going to transition into that. But let us be sober. Be alert and sober. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself here.
The problem with this passage is that he starts to mix his analogy.
Exactly.
And you have to be very careful if you're following his argument and making sure that you're, just like you said, it's not the same as 1 Thessalonians 13.
Nope. So, I know, it does get to be difficult. And actually, we're going to see a little bit later on, he's going to use this word sleep again later on, and I think he actually means more like being asleep in the Lord, even though he uses the same word. So it's really, like I say, it's very hard. You have to be very careful what you do here.
Well, when he's talking about the thief in the night, you know, being overtaken like a thief in the night, if you're asleep, that's what the thief is counting on.
Right, exactly.
The thief is like, and they're asleep, I'm going to go in.
Right.
You know? But instead he's saying, don't be asleep like other people might.
Right.
You need to be aware.
Exactly.
Because it's coming.
Right. And isn't it interesting is that, you know, if you're, I was thinking about the snowstorms we have occasionally. You know, if we know a snowstorm is coming, we get ready for it. Like the one we had starting Friday afternoon. I thought it was going to come earlier, so I got all dressed Friday morning and went to work with all this stuff on. And I'm thinking about noon, I'm saying, why did I wear all this stuff, boots and the whole, I said, this is crazy. There's not going to be any snow. And then, of course, by about 2 o'clock, it started snowing. I said, okay, at least I have all the gear on. So I was was ready for it. But so he's going to tell us two things about being alert and being sober. The alert is to watch, to refrain from sleep, to keep, or maybe better, to keep awake, to be, you know, spiritually awake, spiritually alert. And I had a couple of verses. I didn't put them down. That I wanted to kind of share here. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. So you can write down a couple of verses that I didn't put down here. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Okay, right. And actually, keeping alert, you know, keeping alert basically is the same word as here. And then the other one I had was 1 Corinthians 6:13. I'm sorry. Let's just retrace. I'm losing it here. Okay. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 13.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, I'll just go ahead and read it. You guys, I'll wear you guys out here. be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. I think that could, that may be anthropos. I mean, you're supposed to act, you know, act like a woman too. I know what you're going to say. I didn't look it up, but a lot of times it is. It means mankind. You know, we're dead. You know. But actually, the idea of acting like men is not a bad idea either. So the idea is to be alert, be watchful. Okay. So let's look at the next. Okay, the next admonition here is be sober. Be sober-minded, watchful, circumspect. And I don't think that the emphasis is so much on, even though maybe it's implied, on drinking, it's more, once again, being with it, being spiritually, almost a synonym for the previous, alertness. And I have a few verses for this one. Let's look at... Okay. Could, yeah. Well, I don't think the main emphasis is on not drinking. Obviously, if you are drinking, you could be not with it, that's for sure. But I don't think that's the main. First Peter uses this quite a few times. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Now, I'll go ahead and read this one. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit, or be sober in spirit, fixing your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a neat one. That's kind of says it all together. Yeah. We're to be sober. Okay, then in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, in verse 7, and this is kind of appropriate for today's lesson, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 4, 7. Sure. Oh. Okay, and why don't we kind of hold that thought? Because actually, it relates back to a question that was asked last week, and in this verse right here you're thinking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. Okay. I wish I could easily go back to all the verses here. Let me just see here for a second. Well, I agree. The previous verse, right, told us about the wonderful place a believer has. He's in the light. I think he's saying act in accordance with that, because he's going to go into this thing about getting drunk and stuff, and believers who are in the light shouldn't be there, right? They shouldn't be. So he's, I don't know, it seems to me that he's referring back to the previous verse.
Wouldn't it kind of be like he's saying you are surrounded by all these people who are sleeping, the day is
going to
overtake them.
Right.
And you are not going to be overtaken, so don't act like those who are going to be overtaken.
I think that seems to me is what, you know, he's giving them, he told them their position, and then he says, here's how that kind of position lives itself out. It's a person who's alert and sober. Live out your, you know, in your condition, live out your position. I don't know if that. Right, I know he does. Okay. Right. Yeah. Well, we're going to see later on, it doesn't matter if you're asleep or. And actually, it has a couple of meanings that I saw. You could be. Right. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Right. Exactly. Right. Right. Actually, that's going to relate back to the question that was asked about the. We have the day of the Lord, and then we have the day of Christ. So keep the day of Christ in mind. We're looking for the day of Christ. That's what we're looking for. The day of Christ is a rapture. That's when Christ is going to, and we'll see some verses. Okay. All right. So now he's going to go on to, he's told us that we're not to sleep as others do. Let us be alert and sober. And then he kind of explains the ones sleeping sleep at night. Seems pretty obvious. And the ones being drunk are drunk at night. You know, all kinds of bad things happen at nighttime. You ever notice that? I mean, the police I mean, if you're on night shift for the police, that's got to be the worst shift there is. I mean, I'd hate to have that job. It's just, it can't be any fun. Because man's at his worst. And this verse is kind of pointing to that.
And more free time.
That's a good point. More free time. Exactly. Well, isn't it interesting? And
we all pile on.
Isn't it interesting? We're all kind of the same way. Even though we have Christ's life, we all kind of, you know, if the policeman isn't there, you say, I got past that when I was going faster than I should have been. Or, you know, we have the same, you know, that same kind of mentality too. You know, if it's not seen, well, like I got, you know, somehow I got by. So, unfortunately, that's our old nature showing up. And, you know, we believers are not sons of night. So the wonderful part is that this is not characterizing us. I really didn't spend a lot of time on looking up, stuff like that. So, alright. So now let's go on to the next part. So now it says, now it's going to come back to the positive, if you will. And it's going to talk more about being sober and also talking about our wonderful clothing we have. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we are of the day. Let us be sober, having put on, and that's the idea to clothe here, the breastplate of faith and love. You know, if you go back and look at in Ephesians chapter 6, you have the armor, and we see the same two items show up. We see the breastplate, and there it talks about the breastplate. I cannot pronounce that word. Breastplate of righteousness, and here it's talking about the breastplate of faith and love. So I kind of wanted to focus on faith and love here for a second, and there's a couple of other verses here. Actually, one of them is just back in our same book, 1 Thessalonians. It's in chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought to us the good news of your faith and love, that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. So that faith and love is a characteristic of the believer. And that's described as a breastplate. And there's another verse that talks about the source of faith and love. And what's the source of faith and love? You guys already know this. It's Christ. God, Christ, right? And this verse just tells us that. It's in 1 Timothy 1:14, faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. So the source of all our riches are in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to a helmet, the hope of salvation. Oops, let me go back here. I got carried away there. Let's look at Titus. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And could someone read verses 1 and 2 in Titus chapter 1?
Paul, servant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so what we see here, it seems like the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life are kind of parallel statements. And actually that the one of hope of eternal life actually shows up a fair amount of times. Hope of salvation, I think this is maybe the only occurrence in Scripture, but the hope of eternal life, which is, I think, somewhat synonymous term. So we have the helmet, and that's also described in the Ephesians passage about the clothing of the Christian as a helmet, the hope of salvation or the hope of eternal life. So that's our hope. Okay, and then verse 9. God has, and this is a wonderful wonderful verse. It ties into another verse we had earlier. For God has not destined us for wrath. And I actually didn't look to see if that had the definite article or not. But anyway, this idea of destined is the idea of appointment. We have not been appointed for wrath. And in other places in Scripture, it talks about, actually I have, appointment is, it's use of appointment for a service. It says Paul was appointed as a preacher and apostle. And it says Christ was appointed heir of all things. So God, does the appointing. And we're not appointed or destined for wrath. That's a possession that we have in Christ, which is a wonderful possession. And wrath is this word that implies, it's really the strongest word for, like anger, strongest of all passions. And let's see what I was going to say here. Yeah, and actually it refers back to the verse we had earlier in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, who rescues us from the wrath to come. So we're not appointed for wrath. And what's even more wonderful is he rescues us from the wrath to come. And that word rescue is the idea to snatch from danger. Just really a wonderful statement here. And actually I have a chart following this that kind of traces through this word wrath that I got from Vern. And let's see the last part here. God has destined us for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So our appointment, if you will, we have two kinds of appointments. We're not appointed for wrath, but we are appointed for salvation. The believer is appointed for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So a wonderful, wonderful message of what we have in our Savior. And then here's a Vern chart. And I colored in the wrath line. This is his word patterns in Revelation for pre-tribulation rapture. And if you were to trace through that, this one in 19 right here, this guy right here is the one that talks about the nations tread upon the fierce wrath of God. Nations are tread by the fierce wrath of God. And also in here, you'll see the wrath of the Lamb appears in here as well. What's interesting is it doesn't start until the first seal is open. There's no mention of it for the first five books in Revelation.
Chapters,
thank you. First five books, okay. So this is just, there's a lot more that can be said about that. I'm not actually prepared to go through all the rest of them, but as far as wrath is concerned, the believer is not destined or appointed to wrath. And any other things you want to, thoughts about wrath or questions? It's a wonderful thing. We're not destined or appointed, and he's in. That's a good thing to think. Good thing. And it's interesting. Some people will, they'll make a big deal about this. Well, I think, and they have their views on why believers should go through God's wrath. But Scripture, I think they have a hard time supporting that. I mean, I guess they could do it. The footnote, there's actually two footnotes in it. There's this footnote for up there, and there's a footnote over here. For dwellers on the earth, the one who. Okay, good point. Good point. The hour of testing. Yeah, that is good.
Well, the other thing about wrath is that it's not for the believer now, it's not for the believer in the future, and that's just, it's not the way that the believer should be oriented. There,
no.
There was concern over these things, and Paul is saying no.
Right. Right, and he comes back to it tonight multiple times, and he says, and he tells them, you knew it in the past, keep remembering it. You're sons of light, don't forget, you know where you are, who you are.
Your hope has come.
Right, and our hope is salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our destiny, our appointment is that. Wrath is not in the picture. So basically, Christ died for us so that we shall live together with him I thought that's neat. We're going to live, you know, we live in him now, and so this is talking about that we'll live together with him, which I thought was neat. Okay, here's the part about, it's an interesting thing here. Whether we are awake or asleep, and the word awake is the word we've been seeing all along here, to be spiritually alert. So whether we're awake at his coming or asleep, and this word asleep is the word that we used previously for spiritual sleep. So I went back and forth on this. I said, well, I at first thought, and I that's why I labeled it. I said, those dead in Christ. I thought it could mean that, but it's not exactly the same word. And here's where, as Randy pointed out, Paul kind of goes through, and you have to really be careful. I think it could be either. I could either be the person, if the person has died in the Lord Jesus, the Lord will come for him, he will be with him, or whether he's spiritually asleep. Either case. Right. Well, what's wonderful is the Lord is the one in control. He's the one taking care of it. You know, so many people I meet sometimes, they'll say, well, I gotta be awake, because if I'm asleep, I'm gonna miss him. Scripture says just the opposite of that. It says you can be asleep spiritually. That's not the desired place for the believer, but the Lord is faithful. So then lastly, therefore encourage one another, build up one another. Encourage is to call to one side, parakaleo, to one's aid. Build up is to confirm or establish, just as you are doing. So they were already, the Thessalonians, many times Paul says, just as you're doing, you're already doing this. Okay, I'd just like to end on let's turn to Philippians. This is the last verse for today. You say thank. You'll be thankful for that. Right? The last verse. The last verse is plural. Philippians. Okay. And I'd like to have if someone would read verses chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And I can pick on another volunteer. For that.
This very thing that even if the good and good work in you were completed until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to speak this of you all, Father, I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and proclamation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, and that you may approve the things that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ.
Right. Well, there's just several neat things in this verse. Like verse 9 talks about this idea of your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. You know, talking about they had real knowledge of the Lord's coming, and they had discernment. They were sober. And it's interesting, it says down in verse 10, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. And it seems like the day of Christ is referring to when Christ comes for us at the rapture. So we kind of have a contrast, I thought, between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. Different events for different people. So that's a wonderful thing. We're looking forward to the day of Christ. And the world, unfortunately, will have the day of the Lord. Which has some, the Lord will be, you know, righteous in what he does, and he will save, many will be saved during that day. But his bride, his church, it will be with him. Which is wonderful. So, any last thoughts or questions? All right, well, let's close then. Dear Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we have the blessed hope, our Lord Jesus, that we're not destined for wrath. We're destined for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're destined for our time with you, Lord. And we just thank you that we can physically be with you, Lord. And we thank you for those who are asleep in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that we will see them and that we'll be together with you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.